I'm currently in the USA and I've been talking to Dion Werewolf of Radio Werewolf. And today I'm going to have a chat to Dion because recently, while I was in the US, Dion's website suddenly went down and I was trying to email him and his emails disappeared, website went down, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. So, Dion, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've kind of stepped away from, I guess, the internet a little bit just because, all the things that went on for the past couple months and basically, kind of regroup and re-energize and refocus my, activism, I guess is the best way to put it. So what actually happened was, oh, so apparently we hosted a show called the Bowl Patrol. Or actually, it was called the Bowl Cast, and the group of guys is called the Bowl Patrol. And they kind of, I'm not going to speak for them, but to me, it was kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, kind of ironic sort of thing where they kind of put Dylann Roof on a pedestal. They called him Saint Roof, and there was Saint Bowen or Bauer. And, these guys, so the Bowl Patrol initially was on Christopher Cantwell's Radical Agenda, which, it kind of makes me mad because they got another show over there on Radical Agenda. And if you look at the website, you don't know that there's other shows there. There's no way of knowing unless you're on the mailing list that they have other shows and they promote other shows or they distribute other people's shows over on Radical Agenda. You wouldn't know that. But so the Bowlcast was over there on Radical Agenda, and then there was some sort of dispute over I can't remember initially what it was. It was something about politics. So Christopher Cantwell wanted to go on a more political, kind of like more established based sort of conservative route. He wanted to tone down, the white nationalism and all that crap and wanted to go more of a conservative right wing sort of stance. And I guess there was a issue with that. And then the Bowlcast left that site. And then a little while later, we started carrying the Bowlcast. And then apparently, Vic Mackey, who's kind of, I wouldn't say he's the head, but he's kind of like the face of the Bowl Patrol and the Bowlcast. So when you have a kind of setup on your website, so with the webcast, or not the webcast, with the, you can have different, you can give different people access to it with a login and things like that, which apparently Vic Mackey had. And so, he could post the show on the website. So apparently one night, I don't know if alcohol was involved or, whatever it was, but so they posted all this stuff on the red. I don't know if it was on Radical Agenda or ChristopherCantwell.com. I don't remember offhand right now which one it was. All this stuff about Cantwell being a junkie and a race mixer, which isn't a lie. But then they also posted this thing. So this is the one main thing that Christopher Cantwell got mad about. So we all know Christopher Cantwell's a Fed. He's talking to the feds. He's talking to the FBI. He's talking to the police. He says if you come at him with anything that might be deemed illegal or violent or anything like that, he's gonna turn you into the police.
Wow, he says that openly,
Oh, yeah, he says that all the time. So there was one thing on there. So I don't remember the name of the FBI agent that Christopher Cantwell was dealing with, but there was a post on his website that said basically what it, I don't remember what exactly what it was, but basically what it said was, I keep trying to call you. Why are you ignoring me? I thought we had something special. Which is clearly a joke.
It's
clearly, you know, try to play it off like they got this homosexual relationship or something, right?
Okay.
So, Christopher Catwell openly said that anybody who gives the Bullcast a platform, he's going to go after.
And wow.
He went after several YouTube channels. He went after, there's a show called The Gas Station. He went after them. He went after Heel Turn, which was kind of a network on YouTube. They had Richard Spencer was on there. Like when he had a show on there and a bunch of other guys, you know, it's like the kind of alt-right kind of guys. So all of a sudden, you know, our audio for our podcasts was on Zencast. And all of a sudden, one day, it just went down. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Why the hell? You know, it didn't make any sense to me. Why did it go down? Uh-huh. So I contacted Zencast. Because, you know, they never give you a reason when they initially take you down. They just like, it's gone. So I contacted them and I said, you know, why they take us down? And they're like, oh, you violated our terms of service, you know, harassing content and vulgar and racist and all that. And I'm like, okay, give me a reason. You know, why? Can you hear the dog in the background?
Nope, I don't hear anything. All is fine.
Okay, yeah, there's a dog outside. Anyway, so she's the woman I talked to at Zencast said that, oh, we listened to the last podcast that was submitted, and it's like talking about killing niggers and hanging Jews and killing people and all this stuff. And I'm like, wait a second. So the last podcast that was actually submitted was a show that we have called The Max Resistance. Well, The Max Resistance is kind of a conspiracy-based show. And I don't remember what the topic was that particular week, but it had nothing to do with anything. It was like, I don't know, talking about the Illuminati or I don't know. I don't particularly remember what the topic. It could have been Teflon. I think it was the Teflon episode. We're talking about Teflon and different things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the poison we're putting in our food and our cooking utensils and things like that, right? So I'm like, she did not go back to the last episode that was submitted. She went back to a different episode, which probably was the one that somebody complained about.
Okay.
So then...
So she's lying to you, but okay. Yeah. Right.
So then we started getting all these messages. We had a chat room on RadioWerewolf.com, and we kept getting these messages how they're going to take us down for being terrorists and this and that. And, you know, the thing that really made me mad is like, okay, so you're mad at me for distributing and posting the Bullcast, but nobody came and asked me first. Nobody came and said anything to me first. They just started going after, you know, the hosting sites instead of asking me, hey, will you take down the Bullcast?
I'm with you. They could have spoken to you because it's under your control. Okay. Yes. So they're just going behind your back.
Right. Nobody came and asked me directly. Nobody said a word to me about anything. It's like all of a sudden. So initially it was our hosting site for our audio. And then, so when that went down that day, I went to a different hosting site because that's what I've always done. It's not the first time, you know, our hosting site took us down. So I went to a different hosting site. The very next day that one was shut down. And I went to like three or four. Yeah, I think it was like four different hosting sites, looking up terms of service and all this, and see if they had anything about, you know, being racist or anything like that, or any of those kind of things. Every single one of them took us down within a day.
Wow, that is hectic. So you were knocked out like out of about five, at least five different web hosting sites.
Well, not the web hosting, the audio hosting.
Audio hosting, okay.
So then the other thing that happened, so the way I set up Radio Werewolf was that we had four different hosting sites for different sections of the website. And I did it that way so that if one part got taken down, they couldn't take down the whole thing.
I'm with you. Yes. So you're kind of splitting it. Yes. Okay.
So the archives itself were under RadioWerewolf.us.
Right.
And then that got taken down. So our whole archive section was gone. And they gave me the same runaround about, you know, terms of service and violent content and this and that. And this whole time I'm getting threatening and demeaning, you know, messages on our chat room, which, of course, I saved and copied all the messages and the IP addresses. So that's all filed away. And, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. But,
What sort of threatening messages were you getting? What were people saying? What were they indicating?
Well, part of it was, you know, calling us terrorists and all this crap. And then they started, I don't know, like half-assed thinking they're doxing. Okay, so here's the thing that kind of made me mad.
You also don't know who was sending you those messages.
No, not at all, because nobody had the guts to fucking say a word to me.
Okay, so it could have been Antifa. It could have been anybody.
Right.
Okay. But.
But, yeah. You know, this at the same time. No, the other thing was they did mention the the troll. It was basically just a troll against Christopher Cantwell. They did mention that in those messages. So then I knew, and the other thing I knew is because I had somebody who was friendly with me who was in the Radical Agenda Discord group who sent me screenshots of I should have brought that up earlier. I knew it was coming because somebody who goes by Will, I think, yeah, Will something, posted in the Discord group, which I still have the screenshots of that, that we were using Zencast.
Okay.
So I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. I'm not going to say I knew it was coming. I thought it was coming. I didn't know if they were going to do it or not, or if they were just, you know, talking between each other. But yeah, so I knew where it came from and who was doing it because I already had the screenshots of the conversations they were having about doing it to us.
Okay.
So the other thing that they were doing, apparently, I don't know, somebody, this part's funny. So apparently they think I'm somebody else. Because they were trying to dox me on my own website, right? So they're like, oh, this is his number.
So they're trying to reveal your quote's real identity and who you really are.
Right.
And all the inside info on you, okay?
So they keep posting this one phone number. And they're like, here, call Dion. This is his number. I'm like, that's not my number. I don't even know where they got that number from. And it's funny, if you do a simple goddamn Google search on that number, you will see that's not my number. I looked up that number. And it's like for some woman in like some other town somewhere. I'm like, I don't even know where they got that number from. And then they're like, you know, asking me about, I don't know, this person or that person. And I'm like, I don't even know anybody named that. So I don't even know where they got this information from. I'm like, they're worse than Antifa. Because Antifa has taken our stuff down before and just left it alone. You know, they'll complain about it and then it'll get taken down and then I'll have it up the next day and whatever. That's it. You know, you don't hear about them again. But if these guys spent as much time messing with our enemies as they did messing with their own people, I guess, in quotes, even though, as far as I'm concerned, these people are Jews. They're worse than Jews because they're traitors, for one. And second, they're doing the Jews' work for them.
Right. So how many days or weeks did this whole thing take?
Because it was about 2 weeks I was dealing with this. And then finally, when the main site, RadioWerewolf.com, finally went down, because I've been messing with this. I've been trying to figure out ways to come back online that they can't mess with it and this and that. That's why, you know what? I'm done. I don't care. I don't have the time or the patience to deal with this childish garbage. You know, I got better things to do than sit here all day online, try to get the website back up, trying to figure out different ways to, you know, make it better and ways that they can't take it down. But, you know, at the end of the day, I got better things to do than mess around with little kids.
I've been there, done that. Hey? I know what it's like to be taken down and taken down. And then you got to try and come up with a new plan. And it costs more money and wastes more time. And it's very irritating. I can understand. Especially if you put a lot of work into it and people just come and break your stuff. Yeah, it's rotten. It really is rotten. So
see, that's a good analogy to use. You know, let's say you're building a fence and you know you put the fence up and then somebody comes along and kicks it and you know knocks it over and breaks it, and then you got to go out there the next day and try to put it back up and fix it again, and then the next day somebody comes and breaks it again. It's like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, fuck it, I'm done. I'm not going to deal with it.
And you're doing it on your own time, at your own cost, risking your own stuff, and people are just ripping it down. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Unlike Cantwell, his junky race mixing ass, I have a real job. I work 50, 60 hours a week. And then on top of this, I got to deal with these childish, you know, these people, they don't have lives. They have nothing, you know, besides, you know, sitting in their bedroom or their mom's basement or whatever the hell they're doing, you know, just to mess with me. Whatever. I don't have time for that crap. You know, I got other things to do. I got real world activism and real world, you know, real life stuff that I got to take care of.
Yeah, I understand. And so what happened to the guys to all the other shows that were on your Radio Werewolf? Did they now end, or have some of them moved on to other places, or what's happened? And what's happened to the Bullcast?
Okay, so the Bullcast, we'll deal with that first. I think, as far as I know, I don't really spend a whole lot of time online anymore, because I just find it toxic, you know, kind of a waste of time. But as far as I've heard, Vic Mackey is kind of, he's also dropped off online. You know, he's kind of disappeared. So as far as the other guys are concerned, one of the other hosts started up a new Radio Werewolf. And I tried to talk him out of naming it Radio Werewolf. I'm like, just name it something else. It'll be easier. And he's like, no, you built up this brand. You know, that's the whole thing. And in today's world, everything's a fucking brand. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? You must take it as a feather in your cap that he feels that way about it. Don't take it too bad. He's loyal at least, and you might be tired of it, but it does show that he's on your side still. So yeah.
So there is a new website at RadioWerewolf.world.
Yeah.
So they keep doing shows and they're still putting out content, and I think actually we're gonna keep doing the Max Resistance show, which is I'm one of the hosts on. There's me and two other guys, because I really like that show.
So you are still doing that show, but you're doing it now at this other location that the other guys set up.
Right. So I'm not in charge.
You're not totally off. You're not in charge, but you're still around a bit.
Right. That's it.
You've taken a bit of a back seat.
Right.
Yeah, I also grow tired myself. I know exactly what you're talking about. I battle as well. And you know, with all the struggles that one does and all the beatings one takes, and you look at all the risks you take and the money you've lost. And in my case, I've found even when I go and I spend weeks or months solving problems and overcoming some things, I then find that a lot of my support base has just disappeared. I've solved the problem. I found a new way around it. It's cost me a lot of money and taken a lot of my time. And then I find the people just aren't even there. They won't even support you even a little bit, you know. But I think this is all part of a bigger problem. But we'll talk about that just now. Yeah. So tell me more.
So the other thing that happened. So not only did they attack Radio Werewolf, they basically attacked everything that had to do with me. So my YouTube got shut down. So I do music also under the name Terror Schism.
Oh, you mean like music that's not related to the politics?
It's not related to the politics. Yeah, it's still related to politics.
Oh, okay. All right.
So my YouTube got shut down. My SoundCloud for Terror Schism got shut down. My Twitter was shut down. They took me off of Gab.
Wow, even Gab, huh?
Even Gab shut me down, and I don't even use Gab.
So, did you ask Gab to explain what had happened?
Well, the thing was, the email that was associated with the Gab account was also associated with RadioWerewolf.com, and then when RadioWerewolf.com got taken down, I no longer had access to that email address. So I.
Okay, it was an email address associated with your domain.
Right. Yeah, because I had RadioWerewolf.com, and then I had my email address, which was associated with that.
I understand.
So once that was all gone, I didn't have that email address. But luckily, when all this stuff started happening, I did make sure I had everybody's email address. So I didn't lose everything.
And did you lose like work that you did, or did you have backups of all your work?
Oh, I have backups of everything. I have backups, you know, going back to 2015.
Okay.
So, like, even stuff I did on the original network that I was on, you know, I have all those shows yet.
Okay. Well, as long as you got copies of everything somewhere, because it's terrible when you lose everything. Brian Rue, when his YouTube went down, he lost thousands of videos that he didn't have backups of.
So. Well, that's See, like, YouTube is a little different, especially the way Brian does it, you know, where he, like, live streams, you know? So when you live stream, you know, you're automatically recording just to YouTube, because he does, like, a lot of video, like, video podcasts, I guess you call them. So if you record it locally on his computer and then upload it, you know, then he could have a backup. But if you're doing it on YouTube, I think, you can download, I think. I'm not really sure. I've never done live streams on YouTube because I barely even use YouTube because, you know, it's going to get taken down. You know, they're going to block us.
Absolutely. They're just looking for the slightest excuse.
Right. I'm like, they'll go back. So I, what was it? So I did a cover of a Charles Manson song called Ego.
Uh-huh.
It was not racial at all. It's not violent at all. It's not anything like that. But on YouTube, they flagged that video. You know, you were on YouTube, and you know, you get those emails, how it's like, oh, this is banned in like 87 countries.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it's mostly, you know, for, like National Socialism, things like that. Well, this song had nothing to do with that. So why it was flagged, you know, for hate speech, doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah, you see, a lot of these things I saw with YouTube, they eventually are so, and with some of the social media, they are so against you that even if a thing doesn't even make any sense, they still nail you anyway. They just nail you for some reason. It's like they're looking for the slightest excuse, no matter how pathetic it is. And you don't even have the means to go back and to counter them. Very irritating and annoying. I saw a lot of weird stuff when they were knocking my videos and ultimately my 12 channels off YouTube. I've seen these fucking liberals. They'll do anything to spite you, you know. So even if it makes no fucking sense at all. So yeah.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing now, you know, when they take you down and they never give you a reason. They're like, oh, this was flagged. And then, you know, you can try to put in a ticket or whatever you call it to, you know, dispute it, but it never works out in your favor and it really doesn't do anything.
Yes, yes. They just either ignore you or just fuck you.
Or they give you some excuse or, you know, something like that.
And the whole lot.
Oh, what was that? You kind of cut out there a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My audio cut off a little bit. Now, I was just saying I've experienced the same thing with Facebook and Twitter and those things. You know, they just use any old method against you. And there's nothing you can do about it, really. They're in control.
Right. So I guess what we're talking about is like, I don't understand why Gab, you know, took me down. I don't have any idea whatsoever. I barely used Gab. I barely was even on there. So the reason, whatever reason they used to take me off of there, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, they took me off of Gab. They took me off of Twitter. I never used those anyway. It's always seemed like a waste of time to me. I'm like, most of the reason I was even on there was to promote the shows, things like that. That's the only reason I was ever on those websites. You know, you got these people who just spend like all day out there trolling people or doing whatever. It's just always just seemed like a big waste of time. And there's a lot better things you could be doing with your time and, you know, being more productive.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah, you see, Gab, I think they are. Gab is so afraid of things since that shooting by Bowers that Gab is so edited these days that they censor all kinds of things. I noticed when I was posting on them that they would just come and they would censor the slightest thing. I noticed certain words. You couldn't post things containing certain words. And they've put a whole bunch of censorship in. So, you know, it's a case of once bitten, twice shy. You know, now they are very pathetic. I saw that quite a bit on Gab. So I suspect all that they needed was somebody to just go and say something about you on Gab, and Gab probably wouldn't even care if it's true. The guy who runs it is so shell-shocked that he'll just knock anything off, you know, just so that he doesn't get into trouble. And that's pretty much what we were expecting, because I didn't expect much better from him. Gab is quite censored. Still better than Twitter, but quite censored, yeah.
Yeah, so I never even bothered trying to get back on there or starting a new account or anything like that, because you know what? It's a waste of time, and I really got better things to do than, you know.
It sounds like you got hit in so many places in so many ways that it just overwhelmed you how much work you've got to do to get everything back up. I've been like that myself. There was a time when I was – the first time I went off the internet maybe about 13 years ago, I just went off for like 6 months. I just took a break for 6 months. Another time I took a break for a year, you know.
Right.
There are times, even my old websites that were shut down last year, I've not even bothered to put my old websites up. It's been over a year now. It's been like 15 months and I haven't even bothered to put them up. A person gets tired of all the work that you have to do, and people don't even really appreciate what you're doing or the effort that you're going to in order to try and get back up on the air. It's quite irritating, but it's part of the many problems that we face, actually, which we can talk about. But yeah, so it sounds like there was a whole fucking campaign to just go after you, hunt anything to do with you. And do you think Cantwell is behind it?
I wouldn't say Cantwell personally is behind it, but his listeners and his followers are definitely behind it. Because like I said, I got all these messages, you know, directed towards me. I have emails. I have screenshots of their Discord group. I got all this basically evidence of things that they were basically planning to do against Radio Werewolf.
Okay. So you've got evidence that can show that that various people were planning things against you. Okay.
Right.
And you can tie it back to certain people and to Cantwell's followers. Okay.
Right. Like I said, there's this guy particularly, I don't know, he goes by Will or Bill or some crap like that, who was posting up our information about who hosts our site and our audio hosting and things like that. And, you know, like the who is info.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was posting, like, you know, screenshots of that, things like that.
Now, isn't Cantwell himself in a lot of trouble? Because you were saying that he's dealing with the FBI. Wasn't he? Isn't Cantwell being sued for millions of dollars or something as a result of Charlottesville?
I believe so. I don't know the particulars about it or, you know, have any details on it, but I did hear something about that, but I'm not really sure. Well, I've heard about it, and I am pretty sure that he is being sued, but you know, I don't know the particulars about it, so I'm not really educated on, you know, what that really is all about.
Now, why do you say that he's a Fed and he's working with the Feds?
Well, he's actually admitted that he was talking to the FBI. He claims it was only to give them information about Antifa, but I don't buy that for a second, because Oh, what's that guy's name? There's a guy from Florida. What was his name? It was like Jared something. It was kind of a weird name. It wasn't Jared. It was something like Jared, but it was kind of weird. I don't know. There was like this militia group. Well, it's not. I'll just say it's a militia group because that's technically what they claimed they were. But from what I've heard, it was like one guy, you know, claiming to be more than he was. But anyways, so this guy was talking about how he's going to resist the government and this and that. And, you know, like basic militia stuff. And Cantwell actually admitted on Gab that he called the cops on this guy because he wouldn't leave him alone. He kept talking about, you know, taking over the government or some crap like that. So he admitted that he called the cops and called the FBI on this guy.
So why did Cantwell say he felt a need to report this guy to the cops? I mean, what is Cantwell's sort of business with that? Why does he feel he needs to? What's his excuse?
Well, we all know Cantwell's a crying Nazi. You know, that's his claim to fame right there. But his whole thing is that he's not going to jeopardize his freedom, you know, by having people who might be associated with him talking about doing illegal things. And he's going to just turn them over to the cops of the FBI to basically cover his own ass.
So there must be something that is bothering him. There must be something that somebody's got a hold on him over, hey? Because why does he? Because there must be something at work for him to be feeling threatened.
Well, honestly, I think about it. If you think about it, so all the other people who got arrested at Charlottesville on our side are doing time. Whether it was self-defense or not, and most of it was, everybody is doing time one way or another. The only one who got off and the only one who cut a deal was Cantwell.
Okay. Are you? What sort of thoughts did you have that made you think that Cantwell had cut a deal? Did he?
Well, no, that's basic common knowledge. That's public record.
Is that what a lot of people openly believe?
No, that's public record. He actually cut a deal with the Charlottesville authorities and basically pled down, and then they basically let him off scot-free, and he just did time served. And basically the only, I guess the only punishment he had is he had to leave Virginia.
Okay. Now, the time that the other people have done, how many years is that? Or months is that? Well, how many people have time, and what is the length that they've got? Just pardon me, because I haven't followed it that closely. I know that that somebody went to jail, but I don't know the details. Maybe you can just elaborate a bit for me.
Well, besides Fields, who's going to spend the rest of his life in jail for an accident, and something basically what he did was self-defense in my book. But
the guy who was driving the car.
Right.
Okay, they were attacking the car.
Yeah, they were attacking the car. He panicked. I can't remember how old he was. He was like 19 or something. You know, he didn't know what the hell was going on, and he freaked out. But then they turned around and, you know, try to say that he was a violent individual who planned this whole thing out, which was ridiculous. But, you know, the other guys, like, I think most of them got like maybe 5 years. I think 5 years is probably about the average of what they got.
That's still a long time.
Right.
And that's a long time.
You know, all of it was self-defense. I can't remember particular. So the guy, we all remember the picture of the, black guy who was using some sort of aerosol can and a lighter, and was basically using like a flamethrower.
Okay.
Well, one of this guy, I can't remember his name offhand, but he brandished a weapon and fired in the air to get this guy, you know, to back off. He got, you know, time. He didn't even do anything, you know, as far as I can tell. Well, as far as I'm concerned, what he did was perfectly legal. You know, if anybody who's taken a concealed carry class or any sort of weapons training, they will tell you if you're in physical danger, you can use your weapon. He could have shot the guy. And as far as the law is concerned, that would have been justifiable. But in this case, you know, Charlottesville, they're going to go after all our guys as hard and fast as they can, which we've seen with the Rise Above movement, where they tried to, well, I shouldn't say tried to, they have charged these guys with inciting a riot and on RICO charges and all this other garbage. They're just trying to throw everything they can at anybody who was at that event.
Okay. Yeah, that's bad, hey? That is bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they keep pushing all these charges on people and, like, all these lawsuits that are going on now and all these things that, you know, really, we really don't have that much information on these lawsuits and things like that. But the fact that all these other people got charged with time except for Cantwell, and now Cantwell's out there openly calling the FBI and the cops on different people, you know, it kind of just tells you what kind of person he is. And I think there was more to that deal than we were really led to believe. Are you there?
Sorry, man. I had my mute on. Can you believe? I'm busy talking and I've got my mute on. I was saying that, you know, when it comes to the police and when it comes to legal stuff, there's all kinds of discussions, the direct discussions that take place that they don't have to tell you what exactly was said. And they can even agree among themselves or instruct people not to do things. You know, when it comes to the internet and public stuff, this is told people that there's a lot of secret stuff going on in the world, a lot. And I even saw it with companies, even with businesses. You know, I worked for a bank, and it was one of the bigger banks in South Africa. And, you know, they take, and even if you run a website, if you put something up about some company, their legal team will approach you. I had an international paint company from Holland. Their legal advisor threatened me a couple of years ago over a joke that I published on my website that had been doing the rounds on the social media. And I decided to put it on my website. And next thing is the lawyer is there. And he says, you know, take that thing down, change the name. But whatever you do, it mustn't be our name. And, you know, you cannot go online and say, oh, this company said this and that. All of that stuff happens quietly. And you are told to take it down as a website owner. And you're told either take it down or we'll take legal action or whatever. And companies, as well as governments and everybody, can just come and tell you to remove things from the internet or you will face charges. So I can believe that all sorts of things are said behind the scenes. And there could be threats. They could say, you know, we can do this to you, but if you do that, you know, it all depends on these things that go on behind the scenes. Anything government, military, police, legal, lots and lots of stuff doesn't get on the internet. And people are quiet about it because that is part and parcel of the deal. Absolutely. That's how the world works. And I got to tell you, the more I watch the internet these days, the more I think that a cloud of secrecy is descending on the world more and more. There's more and more secrecy on the internet. You see less and less stories coming out that are really major. Virtually everything that comes out from the alt-right, you know.
Right. And there's the thing with Cantwell. You know, he was facing this time. He had to go to trial and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking to the FBI, supposedly only about Antifa, trying to give the FBI information about Antifa. And then all of a sudden, he cuts his plea deal and he's just let go scot-free. So, you know, to me, that sounds pretty suspicious. And it looks pretty suspicious. And then he comes out and he's attacking, you know, basically his own people. You know, he's attacking Radio Werewolf. He's attacking Richard Spencer. He's attacking the gas station and all these different, you know, groups out there that are putting out information, which is really all we're doing is putting out information and, you know, inspiration.
So who are all the different groups that he's been attacking?
Well, there was a basically a network of guys on YouTube called, I think it was called Heel Turn. I never really paid too much attention to it until this stuff started happening. But there was Richard Spencer was on there. And there's another guy that I liked on there that's on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't remember right now. But there's a bunch of different guys on there who were putting out content. And then there was on Goy Talk and the gas station. And I'm pretty sure that's all of them. Like Goy Talk, Gas Station, Heel Turn, and Radio Werewolf.
Okay. So he was attacking these people over a long period of time?
It wasn't that long of a time. It was probably about a month or so.
And what was he attacking, like, Richard Spencer and the others for? What was his complaint?
Oh, because they gave a platform to the Bullcast guys.
Okay, so he was going after the Bullcast guys. Okay.
Well, actually, the Richard Spencer thing, I think it was for something. Oh, I remember. It was for something else. It was a different – oh, there was a guy on there. It started with a J. It was like, it was kind of a weird name. It was like a French name, like Jacquemin or something like that. Who was talking? He was basically going after Christopher Cantwell for talking to the feds and just different things in general. That's what he was going after that Richard Spencer sort of network thing for.
So these guys were saying that he's talking to the feds. And he then went after them. Okay.
Right.
That's interesting. I've only had contact with Chris Cantwell once, and that was because he interviewed Simon Roche of the Saidlanders. And we did a show last year, and he confronted Simon Roche with stuff that other Americans had found. And it's actually good that I'm talking to you because I'm suddenly remembering something that I'd forgotten. But he was it was very interesting because it's probably the best expose that anybody's done of Simon Roche, even though he's friendly to Simon Roche. I still highly recommend that interview to people because everything he asked Simon Roche admitted was true, and he added even more. So I've only had contact with him that one time, and I was on his show for a very short period of time over that stuff, but I've not otherwise had any contact with him. But, you know, it sounds like Cantwell is a lot like Gab. You know, once they are caught up in certain things and they're threatened, then they are busy struggling to save themselves. For, you know, in whatever way. So Gab is full of all kinds of censorship now. And I've noticed it when I posted articles. There are certain words, you can't have certain words in your post. And then it stops it. And you have to remove those words and only then does it go through. So there's a lot of censorship on Gab. And Gab also kicked off Alex Linder and others. I estimated that Gab probably knocked off about 10% of its users, you know. So right. You could basically say that Gab is intimidated, and one could say that is pretty much what Cantwell is that he's also intimidated successfully, you know. because now they're dealing with the others and they're trying to score points with those who otherwise would be able to take them down. Yeah, that's all part of this game, hey, Dion. That's all part of this game. All kinds of things happen to people. And you will see. You'll see who survives and who doesn't survive and who goes down and that kind of thing. You know, this kind of stuff that we're doing, this is not for children, eh? And as the heat increases, it'll separate the men from the boys. Absolutely. I'm glad that you're still at least doing one show. Just let time go by. And maybe your spirits will pick up. But I know exactly where you've been. I've struggled myself. And even now, I'm kind of half struggling with myself as I'm trying to say, how can I move forward? Because they block you and ban you in every conceivable way, you know?
Right. And the one thing that, you know, I think people should actually understand. So these, I guess... the people who took us down, well, their main point was that, you know, we're advocating terrorism and violent overthrow and all this stuff. And it's like, first of all, they don't even understand what the hell they're fighting against, because they don't understand anything about what's really, I guess, truly going to need to be done in order to achieve our goals or what we want to do, or, you know, the kind of, I guess, homeland for our own people that we want to achieve, because, you know, their idea is that we're going to be able to vote our way out of this. You know, if we just, appease to the white people, you know, we can vote our way out. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
Now you're talking, Dion. These are the people that Alex Linder, he refers to them as the vote fags. And he's dead on the money. There are people in South Africa as well who think that you can vote your way out of this. You don't understand. The enemy is setting you up. And all kinds of doors that are open to you will be closed at the time that you need it. You're quite right. I totally agree with you. You cannot vote your way out of this. You might look at it now and think you can, but at the time when you really need it, you'll see it's not possible.
Right. And then, you know, the thing that we can is utterly ridiculous. If you look at the demographics of the United States, you know, just that alone tells you there's no way that we can have a, you know, majority white country the way it is. You know, the illegal population is... nobody knows the real number of how many illegals we have in this country. Nobody knows. You know, some say it's 10 million. Some say it's could be 20 million. Nobody knows.
I assume they're illegal. I assume that 10 million is that sounds a small number, because even in South Africa, which is much smaller, I'm sure we have much more than 10 million.
Right.
You guys, and haven't you had people pouring in for freaking decades?
Yeah.
I was under the impression that it was something like 30 million or something that I'd heard. I don't know how correct that is.
But, well, yeah, I've also heard 30 million. It's like nobody really knows how many illegals are here. And the thing is, too, so they still say... you know, there's so many white people in the United States, but what they fail to recognize and what they fail to understand is that in that number from the federal government, they also include Mexicans, Arabs, Jews.
Okay, yes, it's not real whites. There are others counted in. In your opinion, how many whites do you think there are in America? Because I'm told that the population of America is roughly 330 million. What is your guess on how many whites, real whites, do you think they are?
You know, I'm not really sure. I never really looked too far into that because the whole situation is, I'm not really worried about how many whites are in America, because the way America is, and I'm sure, you know, most of the world is that way, is that your major metropolitan centers are basically lost. But at the same time, once you get out of like the large cities, it's almost exclusively white for the most part.
Yes, I've noticed that. I'm in a rural area and you hardly see a black. But when I was in New York, I was trying to figure out, you know, what percentage of the people that I'm seeing are white. And it was maybe sometimes half of the people were white, sometimes a bit less, sometimes a bit more. But where I was really shocked was when I went to Washington, D.C., and my host said to me, see if you can find a white face. And for and for kilometers, we were driving, and every single person, not just on the sides of the roads, but in the cars, every freaking person you saw was either black or some other non-white. I just couldn't believe it. It, I think of all the things I've seen, Washington, D.C. has shocked me the most, that the capital of America is actually non-white. That's blown my mind. And Dion, I saw something else that I thought was utterly ridiculous, was blacks in wheelchairs begging. I think that's unique in the whole fucking world. How can a guy in a blacks in electric wheelchairs begging? I thought that was crazy. I thought that was nuts.
And they probably don't even need those wheelchairs. They just use that yes. for sympathy.
I was looking at some of those guys in those wheelchairs, and there were some of them, they didn't look to me like they couldn't walk. They looked quite fine. Didn't look like their legs had any kind of problem with them.
Right.
No way. No, that is quite the shocking part of DC. There's some weird shit in DC, but I'm not going to sit and discuss that now here. But yeah, Dion, you're right. The country is definitely on a trend downhill, and the whites are on their back feet. And it's interesting that the whites are retreating into the rural areas. And I also noticed that people move around a lot. In this country, people are very mobile. People move a lot. They live here and then they live in another state. It's quite different to where I come from. People are much more fixed. You know, they're not in a position to move as easily. So, yeah, some strange things. But returning to the whites, you're basically saying you see that the whites are going downhill and there's going to be a problem. And you're going to lose political control. You're going to lose control via voting. And so am I correct in saying that the way you see it, eventually you're going to lose control of the political system with the voting, and then voting is going to be a complete waste of time, and you're going to have to use other means. Is that sort of where you're getting to?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we've already lost control. I mean, Trump, he was kind of a pressure valve. He kind of let us into believing that we could, you know, still had a voice and still had a choice and still could do this peacefully. And I guess politically, but as we have seen, you know, he did a complete 180, and we just see him as another puppet for his Jewish masters.
Yeah, he's been a real disappointment. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that he's also working on, in preparation for the next election, he's working on getting a different voter base rather than the sort of white voter base that he had, that he's actually going to aim at a different multiracial kind of a voter base. Is that so?
Well, I haven't really been paying too much attention. You know, after, you know, seen what a disappointment he was, I just kind of stopped paying attention to, like, I guess, current events altogether. Because the thing is, with current events and the way the world goes, we know what the problem is. We know what the situation is. And it's basically, it's kind of a, this running joke that it's kind of the same things happen over and over again. So it really doesn't matter, and it really doesn't pay too much attention to current events and what the politics are and what the, I guess, the social, the standing of, you know, what people believe and what people think. You know, I'm not really a big advocate of that because public perception is just that. It's a perception. It's not fact. It's not based in reality. Most of it is just trumped up by the media and trumped up by, you know, public opinion and things like that. That's why the, you know, when they had those polls about, you know, who's going to win the presidency, I think the reason why they kept pressing that Hillary was going to win and she's, you know, taking an alliance slide and all this and that, I think they knew that Trump was going to win, but the propaganda machine of the Jewstream media kept pushing this idea that Trump didn't have a chance so that people wouldn't vote for him.
Yes, very true. That look, it is a fact. I've come across this before, that these public opinion polls are to be taken with a pinch of salt. Hey? The public opinion poll itself may actually be used to form public opinion, not to reflect public opinion. And in fact, that is how the media and the elite work. Is their goal is actually to form public opinion, and they do that through all their loud mouths every day. You know, that is how things really work, actually. You know, the whole notion that there truly is choice and truly is democracy is actually bullshit.
Right.
It doesn't really work at all. It did work once upon a time. Yes, it did work, but doesn't work anymore, and it's not just in America. It's even worse in other places. Absolutely, I agree with you.
And it's like, so like when people, you know, when it, like, especially like people on our side, you know, they want to kind of talk down democracy and the Constitution and all that. I don't have a problem with the democracy or the Constitution the way it was originally, you know, like 150 years ago, I guess, before the Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression.
The War of Northern Aggression, yes. Yes. The war where the guys who were following the Constitution were crushed by the people who were not following the Constitution.
Absolutely. You know, it worked back then, but it got to the point where it got, you know, it got... what's the word I'm thinking of?
Corrupted?
Yeah, it got corrupted. You know, outside forces, you know. We all know what the outside forces are. You know who those people are.
Yeah.
That's when they started coming into this country in the, you know, the latter half of the 1800s.
Yes, the 1880s, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, a little bit before that. You know, he had... these Jews coming in, taking over the newspapers, taking over, you know, basically positions of power around the United States. And then, you know, you had Hollywood, which is, this is kind of a sidetrack thing, but the whole reason why Hollywood is where it is because, so these Jews started making movies in New York City, but Edison, when he developed the, you know, the moving picture camera, he wanted to license it. He wanted people to pay a fee to use his technology.
Oh, okay.
Well, these Jews didn't want to pay Edison to use it. So what they did is they moved all the way across the country to California, hoping that you know, Edison wouldn't come after them all the way over there, which he really didn't. He did a little bit, but it really didn't work out too
well. Okay, so that explains, that's an interesting little fact that I didn't know. And just give me 30 seconds. I just need to jump up. Just hold on.
Okay.
Hi there, Dion. We had a bit of a problem there with my with my recording set up here in the US, but I'm back on air and we still have our other recordings. So I just wanted to carry on because I think it's very important what you're getting at with regard to these guys and they're talking about terrorism and so forth. And the fact that in the future, all sorts of things are going to happen. And it was with interest that I listened to your story about the real reason that the Jews raced off to California away from Thomas Edison. Very interesting. I didn't know this.
Yeah, I found that very interesting. In fact, I actually heard that in the States here, we have a thing called PBS, which is the Public Broadcasting System.
Yes, I know about it.
Which they claim is public, but it's really not. It's really controlled. It's, you know, some of it's government funded, but at the same time, it's really, it's pretty Jewy. So I heard that on this documentary about the history of Hollywood or whatever it was called. I don't remember the name of it offhand, but yeah, I remember hearing about, and they like openly admit is like, yeah, Hollywood was started by Jews. And this is why, because they didn't want to, you know, pay Thomas Edison royalties for using his cameras and, you know, his technology. It was like, it was really funny because I didn't expect to, you know, see something like that from PBS, but they were openly advocating and, you know, telling everybody, it's like, yeah, this is what we did.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff, lots and lots of stuff about Jews that's all hidden for years, and you only find it if you really go hunting. I found the same thing with South African stuff. The Jews hide so much, Dion. They hide so much, more than you can even begin to imagine. And sometimes it's hidden, not just for decades, sometimes for centuries. And maybe sometimes, many times people know about it, and the Jews still go and they hide it. That's why I'm telling you, we whites should be spending our time reading all our history, studying everything ourselves, because you're going to find that so much is freaking hidden. There are so many lies. And it's not just small stuff. It's huge stuff that they lie about. Huge stuff. All the most important stuff is hidden.
Right. So, yeah. And then, you know, when these, you know, the people that are attacking us, or, well, you know, attacking Radio Werewolf and these other different outlets, and they're citing, you know, because we're against voting and, you know, we're against, basically what they want to do is they want to play by the rules set to them by the Jews in order to achieve their own goals, which is basically a losing game, and it's losing everything our people have fought for thousands of years. You're basically playing into their hands, trying to win a game that you can't win. It doesn't make any sense to me how these people can sit here and openly advocate anything that fights against the system is bad for our people. That just blows my mind that these people can sit here. And I think part of the problem is a lot of people, which I don't blame them, that's just the way human nature is they're followers. And they listen to somebody like, I guess, Christopher Cantwell, who says that we need to keep the Democrats out of office and we need to vote for the Republicans or this whole country is going to go to shit, even though this country already, you know, if you look at history, some of the worst immigration policies have been put forth by Republicans. It's like, what did Obama do for, you know, the illegals? Pretty much nothing. You know, he passed that Dream Act thing, but that was, I don't know, that was like a token lip service kind of thing. It did nothing. You had Reagan, who was like the demigod to the goddamn Republicans, who gave amnesty to millions of people. who are here illegally. And the fact is this is something that I've learned over the years, is the so-called right wing in this country is more of a detriment to our people and to what we're trying to achieve than anything, because people put their faith in something that wants to kill you. They don't care about you. All they want is your money and your votes and whatever else they want. They don't give a shit about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your well-being. The only people who care about you and your well-being is your own people, who are honest and truthful about what's really going on in this country. And these people who think we're going to vote our way out of this are sick, delusional, and brainwashed by the very people that we
I know,
need to get away from.
I know exactly where you're going with this. It's something that I've also thought about, and in more recent times I've become even more extreme myself, because basically you're being told how to play the game, but the rules that you are given are rules that are designed that you will lose.
Right.
That's the problem, and that's exactly what you're saying there. And I totally agree with you. As for the, you see Cantwell going now Republican Democrat, that tells me that he's abandoned any form of national socialism or any other hardcore stuff he may have believed. If he starts advocating that, then it's a pathetic loser game that's been running for decades already. That game, the Democrat-Republican game, has been running for decades and decades. I knew old people, I'm talking old people in their 70s and so forth, who will tell you, even Tom Metzger, everybody will tell you. They will say to you, there's not an ounce of difference between a Democrat and a Republican. And what you expect out of the one versus what you will get is a totally different thing. I myself was a huge fan of Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, when these two so-called conservatives came to power in Britain and America. Margaret Thatcher was the one who gave Rhodesia away to the black communists, and she's supposed to be an anti-communist. Ronald Reagan, who's supposed to be one of the greatest presidents of America of all time, is extremely pathetic in the way that he dealt with the Soviet Union and the Cubans and the Eastern Europeans who were fighting in Angola. There was a whole freaking communist army with Russian generals and stuff fighting against South Africa in Angola, and Ronald Reagan didn't lift a finger. Didn't lift a finger to assist the whites of Southern Africa. And nowadays that I'm older, I look back on Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, and I realize they must have been like the Trump of their time, completely in with the Jews, probably even more in with the Jews than Trump, even where the Jews were completely confident in them, and they were absolutely worthless, totally worthless. You cannot call that conservative. And as for Republicans nowadays, if you really watch carefully, conservative is a term that has lost its meaning completely. I used to know Americans 30 years ago who used to say to me that the concept of the right wing has no meaning. It's already meaningless. And I myself can tell you that the concept of conservatism is meaningless. A modern Republican is a liberal. He's freaking trying to get non-whites to vote for him. How on earth can you even imagine that he's a conservative? No, man, these terms have no meaning. That these are empty labels that have no meaning. They could just as well have changed their name. The conservative doesn't exist. Right wing doesn't exist. If you truly are right wing, you'd be a national socialist.
Right. And that's what these people don't understand. It's like, you know, they're going to sit here and say, oh, we need to vote these Republicans in. It's like, these Republicans have been detrimental to our people for decades upon decades. And there's no going back. It's like, you can't vote your way out of this because the demographics in this country do not allow for, you know, real effective, I guess, change to take place by voting. I'm like, we figured this out already. I'm like, we tried this, what, 3 years ago, and we thought we're going to get something good, and then it turns out, you know, all we were, you know, I think with the, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay. I had stupid antivirus thing pop up on my screen. I was trying to get rid of it. But no, I think we figured this out with the election of Trump is that voting our way out of this is impossible because all you're going to get is a bunch of lip service. And once they get, I think here's the way I always try to explain this. I think, so if you look at Trump when he was on the campaign trail, and I watched a lot of those rallies, because they were great, you know, it was great theater. Once he got into office, it was a completely different guy. It was not the same guy. You see him talk now, that is not the same guy who was on the campaign trail. And I think part of the thing was, once he got into office and once they actually really, you know, there's always that period once they're elected. And once they're in office, it's like 3 months. I think they set him straight and told him what he can and cannot do. And basically, as far as I'm concerned, the president of the United States is a puppet. He's a figurehead. He's a mouthpiece. He's only up there to be blamed. I'm like, people blame the president for every little thing in the world. And everything that goes wrong in this country is automatically the president's fault, like the economy and crap. President has nothing to do with the goddamn economy. So I don't know why they keep blaming him for that. It's like, oh, Obama did this. It's like Obama had nothing to do with that. It had like nothing. It wasn't his department, right? Like the NSA, you know, it came out during the Obama administration that the NSA is tracking and listening to all your phone calls and text messages and emails and everything you do online goes to the NSA. And everybody's like blaming Obama for that. It's like Obama had nothing to do with that. First of all, that program was, you know, enacted 10 years ago. And second of all, Obama has nothing to do with the NSA. But that's just one example. But what I'm trying to say is that the president is, he has no power whatsoever. He doesn't enact anything. He doesn't put anything forward. Okay, if you look at Trump, when he first got in, he kept putting in all these executive orders for this and that and the other thing, which did some good and it helped some people out, like the tax cut and all that stuff. But the things that really people cared about that they wanted done, like the wall, for instance.
Yes, the wall and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, lock her up.
Lock the fucking communist bitch up, yes. But
that is never going to happen because once you lock up Hillary Clinton, that starts a precedent to lock up other corrupt politicians, and that'll create a snowball effect. So you can't do that. That's why, so even people complain that when, if you go back a little bit, when Obama got elected, there was a lot of people calling to lock up George W. Bush for war crimes. And that never happened. There will never be a major politician locked up for anything. Not a damn thing in this country. And it probably goes all the way back to Nixon. Which, if you looked at what Richard Nixon did, is nothing compared to what these politicians do today.
Absolutely. He got a real bum rap. But that's because... I think the Jews wanted him out.
Right. Yeah. Nixon did nothing wrong.
Kissinger, his loyal Jew.
Right.
Helped him down as best I understand. Yeah. But Dion, the bottom line is that these people are all in bed with each other. And just yesterday I was at a book sale and I saw a copy of Donald Trump's The Deal. And Donald Trump is always talking about the deal and how he can strike deals. But I want to tell you something. If you go and you study Napoleon and Hitler, Napoleon, there's a quote from Napoleon. I can't remember the words exactly, but basically Napoleon says there are two options in life. The one is to deal with the upper classes. And he says, if you deal with the upper classes and the people who are powerful, the end result will be mediocre. And then he says, if you deal with the masses, that is where you're really going to get change. And Hitler himself focused on the masses. Napoleon and Hitler knew that the only real change that you can ever get will come from the masses, and in their case, the white masses. And this business of striking deals, this is a load of bullshit. It just means that you're washing each other's hands. And you know, Dion, it could even be that they've got all kinds of dirt on Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is in a spot. And if he does something, somebody else has got dirt on them. The whole thing is so corrupt. You know, look at the British, for example, and all this paedophilia. All the British politicians in their parliament and the paedophilia going on there. And yet you will never see any one of them outing the others over paedophilia. In fact, you even find women defending paedophilia at the high levels. Dion, the Jews know how to get everybody in and get everybody's dirt. And it probably is, like you say, if you take Hillary down, she'll probably take down 1,000 others with her. The Clintons are so dirty. They must have so much dirt on other people that if you take Hillary down, you probably will take down half of the people in freaking Congress and the Senate at the same time. So that is normally the way that people manage to protect themselves is by keeping dirt on others. And those Clintons and whoever their buddies are, they must have tons and tons of dirt. That's why they're untouchable. She can get away with stuff because if you take her down, she's going to take other people down. And I think Trump himself is also in danger of going down. And also, like you say, the president is not the same as an emperor of Rome. He doesn't have that much power. There are lots of things he can't do. And the other thing is these presidents in America, they're surrounded by all kinds of experts, this expert, that expert. He's got to listen to the experts. And they form his opinion for him. He's not a free thinker like Hitler. He's not a free thinker like Napoleon or Caesar or Frederick the Great. He can't think for himself. So the whole system is just totally controlled. All these rich and powerful, they're all in with each other. And you know what? Probably the only way out is to sweep the whole thing clean. And I think it's not just true for America. I think it's true for the entire Western world.
Right, absolutely. Because you think about it, we've been listening about this Russia collusion and Russia, you know, getting into our politics for the past 2 years. You know, that's all they've been talking about is all this Russia stuff. And then it comes out, you know, like a month ago or whatever, that, you know, there was nothing found. There was no evidence that states that this actually happened. Well, how about you look into the, the voter, not the voter fraud, but the voter fraud. They should probably look into that in a real and meaningful way, but they don't. You should also look into the, the influence that Israel has on our elections and on our politicians. You know, there you will find some real collusion. You know, the Republicans and the Democrats, they can't agree on anything. They can't agree on what they have for lunch that day. But when it comes to Israel, you know, they're all bending over at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dion, I'm telling you that I myself am a total believer in the great man theory of history. This is how whites used to view Europe, that the fate of Europe was determined by great men. Some great man arises, he does his own thing, he fights his own battles, he does his own thing, and he is the only guy that actually causes change. And in the case of Napoleon and Hitler, they were creating lots of change in Europe, and they had to be destroyed. If they'd been left alone, they would each have united Europe in a different way, and they would each have produced a new united, dominated Europe, and it would have run. And you know what? If you go and look at the Roman Empire, if you look at whites before, you'll see that eventually there comes a time where you literally need military force, because that's the only way that you get real change. Because if you go with, you know, show me an instance in history where politicians and voting caused real change. You will never see it, Dion. I have yet to see it. The only real change that comes is through revolution, warfare, and that kind of thing. That's the only time there's real change, because anything else is just a bunch of collusion, and they're all in bed with each other. And another thing that a lot of us forget is that we might look on ourselves as, say, middle class. I used to think I was maybe upper middle class. But you know something? We are just fucking peasants, Dion. We are fucking peasants. That's what we are. The really rich are completely beyond us. You know, when I was in Washington the other day, I was taken to the house of Bezos, the Jew billionaire who owns Amazon. He bought a fucking house, and it's not even a big house, Dion. He bought a fucking house for $20 million, and he's still busy fixing it up. And I saw the black security guards standing outside of it. And Dion, I want to tell you, man, we are not in the same league as these people. The Jews and the super rich, they are in a completely different league. That is why they're not even worried about these non-whites coming in, because they themselves will never be living in the places where these non-whites are living, because they will always have their security people. They'll always be able to live in mansions and estates without any problems. They get special. They travel around the world and they get special. What do you call it? You get a thing called VVIP, which is like very important person status. You know, these people move in a whole different class that we are not part of. We're not part of that world, man. A friend of mine's brother worked for the Jew Oppenheimer. And the Oppenheimer, before he dealt with anybody, he wanted to know what the value of the person was. And he used to talk in terms of a click, as in clicking a mouse. And if you had one click, then it meant that you were worth $1 million. And he never even spoke to people who didn't have at least 20 clicks. So if you don't have 20 clicks, he doesn't even talk to you. You just don't even feature. Dion, that's the world that the rest of us are in. We are fucking peasants with pitchforks. That is really our level. And they just look down on us. And the Jews are among those people, and they are forming their opinion. They're fucking with their heads. And they just look on us as peasants with fucking pitchforks. We are nothing. We're nothing.
Right. That's absolutely true. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you make $20,000 a year or $20 million a year. you're still in the same boat as everybody else. It's still, it doesn't really matter. It's like either you're eating bologna for dinner or you're eating filet mignon. You know, it's still the same crap. If you're driving an old beater or you're driving, I don't know, some sort of luxury vehicle or whatever, you're still, the problem is that a lot of, especially Americans, live outside of their means. So they get into this debt-based economy, which keeps the system running. And the thing is, which we saw from the housing crash, it was like 10 years ago, maybe not 10 years ago, but 5 years ago, whatever that was.
No, it was about 11 years ago, 2008.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think it was. I'm bad with time.
No problem.
But so with the housing crash, so they, you know, they lend this money to these people who they know can't afford it, but you know, you're lending money for a house, so if they can't pay for the house, they just take the house. So then, you know, they're not really out anything. They can sell the house and they'll make more money in the long run. But this whole economy is built like that. You know, you can buy a car. If you can't pay for the car, they'll come take the car. You know, that's how this thing works. And it seems like no matter how much money people make, they always want more money. And they're like, how much money do you need? You know, you only need so much money. You don't have to, you know, have a, I don't know, a Lexus or whatever rich people drive. I don't even know. You know, I got a car that's like 12 years old and it's fine. It gets me where I need to go, where I want to go. It's not even any better if I had a Corvette or something like that. You know, actually, I don't even want a Corvette, but you get the point. It doesn't matter.
I know what you're getting to. And I'll tell you, the whites in South Africa lived in this same Jewish illusion. Basically, everybody chases money. I've noticed it in America. I was observing this and I was telling my hosts, I was saying to them, America now is very much like South Africa 30 to 35 years ago. America, you can see it in the way everything works. And I was pointing to my host. I was saying, look at your mail. When he gets the mail, he gets lots and lots of advertising stuff. He gets mail order catalogs. He doesn't even sign up for the things, and he's already getting free mail order catalogs. Order this, order that. I said to him, you know, that's how South Africa was 30 and 35 years ago. You had everything coming at you from all sides, and everybody was just thinking about making a quick buck. And everyone's chasing the dollar. And in the case of the South Africans, they were chasing rands, and everyone thinks that they're going to get rich. However, we are chasing the breadcrumbs of the Jews and the elite, and we're not going to get rich. The vast majority of us will never get rich. A tiny, tiny handful might make something. And Dion, I used to have customers of my own in the days when I did software consulting and stuff. And then people would get a business going. The business would start booming. And Dion, within 10 years, that guy is bankrupt. All my white customers shut their doors. Dion, all this, you're chasing money. You're chasing money that's not real. You're chasing wealth that's not real. And only a tiny handful of people are going to get it. And even they won't be able to keep it for long. I used to have family members who were so freaking rich. They'd lived in South Africa. They didn't have to earn any money. They had so much money they could buy a new car every year. If they wanted to go somewhere, like I had an uncle, when his daughter went to university, he bought her a house right next to the university, man. So that is how much money they had. He would buy himself and his wife. He'd buy each of them a new car every year. He said that is the way that you do cars. But let me tell you, all of that wealth disappears. Those members of my family, all of them died in poverty or semi-poverty, even though they were stinking rich when I was young. And I want to tell you, all this stuff, it's all debt-based. People are chasing clouds. Those clouds are going to disappear, and you're going to see that when it's all over, 99% of the whites are all screwed. And none of that is going to come to us. And people in America still believe that this is happening, that they still stand a chance. But it will fade away. It may take 10 or 20 years, but it will fade away, my friend.
And part of the thing is, this is all built by design. It's like, you got people,
yes,
especially yes, younger people, they can't do anything for themselves. And they can't change a tire. They can't change their own oil in their car. They can't fix anything around the house. They can't do anything by themselves for themselves because, so if you look at the schools, right? So when I was in school, you had auto mechanic class, you had shop class, you had welding, you had all these different skills. Even if you weren't going to go into that field, you know, for a career, at least now you at least knew how to do those things. But now they don't even offer those classes. They don't offer anything like that. So you can't do anything. You can't be self-sufficient in any way whatsoever. And I think that's the main problem that we have as a whole, as a people, and as a society. But mostly I'm more concerned about us as a people, is that we have to become self-sufficient again, and we have to know how to fix things. We have to know how to take care of things. We have to know how to not rely on the system to take care of us.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, the system is a parasite and a cancer that should basically be done away with. And in doing that, the less you feed the beast, the less you participate in this society, in this system, the better we're going to be off as a whole for everybody involved. Because if you would participate and pay into this system for things that either you do not need or for services that you can do yourself, not only are you helping yourself and your family, you're also helping your people.
Absolutely. Dion, I'm completely in agreement with you. Completely in agreement with you. You see, there's nothing wrong with civilization. There's nothing wrong with science. There's nothing wrong with democracy. There's nothing wrong with nationalism. When these things were originally conceived by white people and run by white men, everything worked. But now what you've got is you've got the Jew, and he's gotten in and he's perverted all of these things and he's turned them against us. So now civilization's busy killing us. Science is killing us. And like you say, all kinds of skills are taken away from us. But notice how the Jew has also moved industry away from Britain, away from Europe, away from America. And all that industry is sitting in fucking China. So let me tell you, Our Jewish enemies have been laying the groundwork for our destruction and thinking way ahead. And there are so many things that I can see where you can see the helplessness that they are creating among people deliberately, so that the next, like you say, the next generation is even more helpless. Now, Dion, I'm totally with you that when you eventually realize that the system is against you, that you actually need to find ways of breaking out of this thing and starting to survive without it. That's why I myself, you know, I can go and try and get work inside the system tomorrow. But I've grown to hate the system so much. I hate it with such a passion that I don't want to participate in this thing. I'd like to try and do things that are related to my race, to our politics, to our history, to our future. I don't want to take part in that system anymore. Even if it means being much poorer, I hate that system. That system's killing us. And it's especially aimed at the white male, Dion. Especially at the white male.
Right, absolutely. And like we were talking about, you know, before we started recording. So like what I've been doing now, since I got more free time, that I don't have to edit all these podcasts and worry about posting them and doing all this web I don't know, those web, what do you call that?
I'm also trying to think. I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, all those
website other stuff.
Website tasks, let's call it that. Yeah.
Right. You know, doing all that stuff. You know, I've been doing woodworking. I've been building things. You know, I've been doing all these projects around the house that, you know, the past 3 years that Radio Werewolf's been going on, I kind of been putting off, and I'm like, well, I should do this, and oh, I should do that. And, you know, I've been putting all this time into working on Radio Werewolf that I've kind of put real world things that I've wanted to do on the back burner. So now, since I have more time, you know, I'm building cabinets. I'm building, I built a new desk. You know, I built all this stuff that I wanted to do. I'm getting rid. So like the desk I had, like everybody else, the desk they have who, you know, isn't going to pay $200 or $300 for a desk. You know, it's this particle board crap you buy at Walmart or Target or whatever. That's the desk I had. And I was thinking about it for, you know, basically like a year now, because the problem with besides being a hunk of crap, the problem I had with the particle board is that the area where I always sat, you know, the veneer they have on top of it, you know, it starts wearing off or starts bubbling up and crap like that, and it gets ugly, and it's just not a good product. So the first thing I did is I built a new desk. Actually, this one's all, it's made out of steel and oak. And then I built a new lamp. I made, right now I'm working on a new cabinet to replace some piece of crap plastic thing that I got at Target. Basically everything in my house came from probably Target. I don't shop at Walmart. I won't shop at Walmart. I will not go to Walmart. Walmart is like, I don't know if you've ever been to a Walmart in the United States yet.
I have been quite a number of times now already. I know about a Walmart. Yes, go carry on.
I will not go to a Walmart. I refuse. It's like go to the ghetto is basically what Walmart is like.
And everything you get is made by Chinese slave labor shipped in by Jews.
And going to Target, it's a better clientele. You know, white women love Target. It's mostly whites, some Asians. It's like black people don't go to Walmart or go to Target. They don't go to Target.
I've never heard of it. Okay, yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like a little bit higher tier than Walmart. But it's got the same crap. It's all the same plastic Chinese made garbage that, you know, it's all the same. It's just a better clientele. It's a better demographic that goes to Target. So, you know, I've been going around replacing all this plastic crap by building, you know, new things myself. And not only is it better quality and a better product, once it's done, you can look at it and go, I built that. I made that.
Yes. Yes. Well, Dion, at my house, I was doing stuff to get myself off the grid with water, with solar power and everything. My stuff wasn't pretty, but my stuff worked. And I tell you, it helped me to function when other people couldn't function. And look, I think I agree with you that we have to move away. Perhaps what we're really talking about here is the concept of a whites-only economy. I've been thinking about that. We've got to move away from these systems because these systems are killing us. And this in and of itself is a whole deeper discussion. But I believe that if we removed our skills from this Jewish system, you would actually see how easily that Jewish system would collapse. I've watched it in Africa and South Africa, and I've come to the conclusion that if whites withdraw completely from the system, the whole thing will collapse in a heap. And we must have our own Jew-free system. We must work out our own economics, our own system. I suspect that you'll find that the only practical system is some kind of national socialist system coupled in with some kind of economics. I think that's the only thing. And we got to get white men and women away from all this other crap. Let this other stuff fall apart. Because the elite and the Jews think that they can use our science and these blacks and technology against us. But I want to tell you, we can outlive that. I've seen enough of it. So, yeah. But we've got to move away from a system, because that system that we're working in is killing us. And the more we strengthen that system and put our talent in that system, the more it's damaging our race. Agreed.
Right, absolutely. I think, you know, the more people learn how to basically sustain their own lives without depending so much on the system, you know, it helps you out tremendously. And it helps not only you, but it also helps your community, it helps your people, and it helps everybody around you. And once you start doing it and show people that it can be done, they'll want to do it themselves and wanted to, you know, participate in the type of things that you're doing. It's like my neighbors, you know, like I said, I've been doing woodworking and I don't have a lot of tools. Like the only power tools I have, I bought a sander, because hand sanding is like the worst. But so I bought a sander and I bought a jigsaw. And the jigsaw is like the only saw I have, besides I have a handsaw and I have a miter box, which is also a hand saw. Everything is done by hand. It's not that hard to do, especially with the handsaw. If you get the right handsaw, you can saw through anything in like 30 seconds. It's not a big deal. It's not that hard to do. It's probably better, since Americans are so damn fat and lazy. Gives you some exercise.
Gives you some freaking exercise that you need so badly. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. No, Dion, very interesting. Well, Dion, I think the whole economic thing and the skill thing, that in and of itself is a whole other discussion, but it's an important discussion.
The point I was trying to make, though, is that my neighbors have been noticing, you know, I'm doing all this stuff now, and, you know, they can hear the jigsaw going and the hand sander and stuff. They're like, what are you doing over there? And I'm like, hey, I built this thing. And they're like, oh, that's really cool. I wish I could do that. I'm like, you can do that. It's not that difficult. You know, just takes a little ingenuity and a little bit of planning, and it's not that difficult to do.
That's actually good, because, you know, you're quite right. Our people, once they start perceiving things, they'll change. I noticed my neighbor was also doing stuff. He was doing a bit of concrete work and stuff. Also by himself, he lost his job, and he was fixing things at his house. And then at a point, he also asked me to help him a bit. And you know what, Dion? All of this stuff is good. We start interacting with each other. We start talking to each other. We start sharing skills. We start thinking together. Dion, this stuff is healthy stuff. And we need to do these things. And much bigger things will come out of it. Once we start working together, the more we can work together, you're going to see all kinds of things happening. I think as it is, many people have switched off from the system. The more you can get people away from the system and thinking independent thoughts, that is the beginning of what can save us. We can function when these non-whites and Jews can't function. I can tell you, we are very, very capable people. You know, the white male from Europe did not conquer and control 3/4 of the earth for nothing. The white male is very, very competent, my friend. I'm sorry to hear about what happened to your to your setup. But you know what? Don't hassle about too many things. It's good that you've taken a bit of time off. I'm glad you're still doing a little bit on the side. You know what? A person takes a lot of beatings, and this is not easy. But I think that you've probably got more than enough commitment that with time you'll be back again. You'll get new ideas. I myself have reached points in the past where I didn't know what to do. And then I just left it for a while. And then eventually things would start giving me a spark again. And I'd go back and I'd try different things. Little by little, we're all getting stronger. And these people who are telling you that you're terrorists and stuff, they're just babies, man. They're just children. They don't know how evil the fucking system is. And anybody who recommends going and voting for Democrats and Republicans is just a fucking idiot. I don't even vote in South Africa. I stopped voting a long time ago. I've actually only voted once in my life, can you believe? The rest of the time I didn't fucking bother. I just decided, you know what, why vote for a fucking system that just fucks you anyway? You know, people said to me, well, your vote counts for something, but I don't know so much. I just don't support these systems. I want a system that I can support. And I think we're all in that space.
Right, absolutely. Like, I voted twice. You know, I've told this story like a million times. So the first time I voted for George W. Bush the first time, and I didn't actually vote for him. I actually voted against Al Gore. Because okay. When I was a teenager, there was this thing called the PMRC. It was the Parents Music Resource Center. That's what it's called. It was headed by Tipper Gore, who was Al Gore's wife. Okay. And they were the people who kind of went it. There was like these Senate hearings against, you know, heavy metal music and stuff, which is what I was into at the time. So I basically voted against Tipper Gore more than anything. And then, you know, the last time I voted for Trump, because I was a dumbass, but.
You like, know what? You know what? You
like did. So many of us were.
You know what? You did what you did. You did it on good faith. You mustn't beat yourself up for it. You're not the one that failed. And you know what? Don't beat yourself up on it, man. The fact that you've awakened and you are acting on it, what is more important than any votes that you've ever cast is the activism that you've engaged in, the things you've taught people, the things that you've told them, the things they've learned from you. That is worth more votes than all the votes you could have cast in your entire lifetime. Don't even worry about it.
Well, you know, I'm not really worried about it.
But. Well, I'm just saying. But, yeah, you know, I think our activism is what's really important. That is what's really important. And that's why they're shutting us down, because our activism is the thing. That is the real vote that they really don't like.
Right, absolutely. And like, as you can tell, I'm not really a sedentary person. I can't just sit around and do nothing. You know, I'd stopped doing, well, I shouldn't say I stopped, but I cut back on the amount of time I spent online. I haven't been spending a whole lot of time online. And I've put my efforts and my energy elsewhere. And I think that, you know, the more people do these sorts of things where they, you know, actually just be active and do things for themselves, they'll be better in the long run. And I think also, as you can tell, I can't relax. I don't. So from the time I come home from work, almost to the time I go to bed, I'm doing something.
But that's good, Dion. That's good. You know, that is good. You know, it's good to be like that. And you know, something else I'm going to tell you is that no matter how our paths have gone through life, you're going to see that through the things that woke you up, that turned you into an activist, and through dealing with these problems that have occurred, you are learning and changing as a person. And rest assured, in the years to come, there are still going to be even more benefits that are going to come out of this, and you're going to learn more and more things. Stay alive, stay active, and stay racial. And that is the way that I think these days. And don't even worry about the bad things that can come. And I try to tell people, don't even concern yourself with all the negatives, because the more we can do for ourselves, you're going to be astounded how effective we're going to be. We may feel like we're in the minority at the moment, but rest assured, the Jews and the elite are not trying to shut us down for no reason at all. They know that we are capable of causing huge problems for them, especially when white men get active. You know, they know what can happen when white men get active. And the last time white men got active and were right-wing in Europe, in Germany, in Italy, in Spain, in Hungary, and Finland, and all those places, they saw what came out of that. Let me tell you, these Jews and the elite, they fear the white male more than anything on earth. That should be quite plainly obvious. And, you know, even when I was at the Fash Bash, I said to them, all white men need to stick together. All white males of European descent must stick together, because everything in the world is aimed against us. And they're even trying to take the white women away from us. They're trying to do everything to stop us. They're bringing in faggots. They're bringing in women. They're doing anything to break us down. And that is because the white male is the greatest threat to this system, because they know what can happen when the white male gets going. And I'll even say this, there are white males currently inside that system who will yet themselves break out of that system. Some of those FBI people and others will one day realize that they too have been screwed over, just like the rest of us. There's still more people coming to join us, make no mistake.
Well, yeah, you see that all the time with people, you know, who are on our side or ex-military. There's a lot of them. You know, they understand what's going on. And I'm pretty sure, you know, people in the intelligence agencies and the FBI and things like that, they know what's going on. They understand. But they really can't say anything, or they can't be active about it because of their position. They, you know, they don't want to lose their jobs or things like that. And I think a lot of them understand what's going on. They know the situation. They just, you know, like a lot of people, they don't want to be open about it. They don't want to be vocal about it. They don't want to rock the boat, I guess, or anything like that. So it takes people like me and you and others to speak out for them and to let them know that they're not alone. And there's people out here who think like them and, you know, believe the same things that they do. You know, they try to pass off like, you know, the white nationalist movement in the United States is violent and reactionary, and we're just out to kill everybody. And I really think, you know, if you look, you know, the media tries to put out this message that hate crimes are on the rise and all this crap. Well, if you look at all these stories about hate crimes, they're all fake. They're all been done by either blacks or by these. Most of them are just made up. And I know, I believe that the, you know, law enforcement and the FBI, they know that. They understand that. They know what's going on. They see the situation and they see these stories coming across about all these fake hate crimes, like that guy in Chicago. And, you know, that's not the only one. Like, every hate crime that's been going on for the past 2 years has been made up by the person or been done by a black. You know, they spray paint, you know, nigger on the side of a wall, and everybody's outraged that there's white supremacists in the area, and then it turns out there was some fucking black guy who did it. or like swastikas on the side of a synagogue. It turns out there's some Jew who did it. You know, the all these things are fake, and all these things are just made and put out there by the public or by the mainstream media to the public to make us look bad or to, you know, denigrate whites in general. But with, I'm pretty sure, you know, those people who are in law enforcement understand what's really going on. They know. They can't say anything in order to keep their jobs and keep their position, but they know what's going on.
Dion, I agree. It's so important that there are some people who speak while vast amounts are silent. And that is why we have a role in what we say, because you don't know how many people you're resonating with. And you don't know who is listening, who, like you say, they have a career, they have a position, they cannot do anything now, but they're also not stupid. And I mean, how many of these soldiers who are out there killing for Israel and intelligence people who are killing for Israel, you know, eventually there's got to come a time where they also realize, you know, is this really what I joined up for? That my job is to just kill for the Jews, or I must die for the Jews. No, give these things time. Give these things time. These people are not paranoid about white males and white supremacists for nothing. They must know that the real source of true resistance will not come from the blacks. It's not going to come from these other non-whites. It's not going to come from the Mexicans and the Latinos or the Hispanics. And thank you very much for telling me about what happened to you. And I'm not quite sure what's happened there, but I've got a bit of a weird connection. But can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You cut out there for a second, but...
Okay. Well, Dion, thanks very much for chatting to me. I'll put this out in the next day. And, yeah, hang in there. And I hope you and I will be talking again about many things soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on and letting me, you know, get my voice out there and let people know that Christopher Cantwell is a fed and shouldn't be trusted and he's a piece of shit. And,
well, you say what you need to say. Thank you very much, Dion.
Thank you, Jan.
Take care. Okay, bye.